JC2S, Part 2. Chapter 6. Science, Theology, Medicine. Number 1A.
Well, welcome to our Part 2 of Science, Theology, and Medicine. I must say right off the bat, so to speak, that it really will be much easier than last year when we took that tremendous subject of science, which is always when we have a subject, a build-up from mind to spirit to soul to principle, it's almost like uphill all the way. But when one gets to the vantage point of principle and looks out from principle upon the universe, as Mrs. Eddy said we should, then life gets a little easier and we encounter the surprise of life in its ideal form, and the adventure of love. So we have the surprise of life in front of us that will be the life tone of theology, and the ideal form of that surprise encompassed by love. I feel that though there isn't a love tone in this chapter on science, theology, and medicine, quite unusual, isn't it? To have a word order and no love tone. But I think what we'll want to do is to continue to listen to the tone, to the melody, to the symphonic structure behind this text, and see if we can detect love. And I think that by the end of the week, we will feel love. We will feel that divine principle love, which is a self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting system behind all science. That science is based on a principle love. We heard that with that tone principle at the point of love when we finished the class last year. That all science then is guided by a principle which is love, a principle which is goal causality, wholeness causality, oneness causality, which always operates as the whole on many different levels, taking on many different forms and expressions and laws, yet always remaining the whole. So this wonderful sense of divine science seems to permeate theology, that we live our life every day according to a church of consciousness. It's not a church that we join, but it's a church of consciousness, a church of consciousness which is based on the divine principle love. That we're servants of that principle and not prisoners of any organization, be it called church, be it called body, be it called family, be it called business. We will see that we owe allegiance to none other than that principle which is God, really seeing that that principle which is God is our principle, that we have no other teacher or practitioner or government, or any giver of our life experience except that which is principle God, and that is church. Whenever we live out from a consciousness that comes forth from that Father, from that principle, that we will see is true theology. It also, that divine principle love is true medicine. That same principle heals. It heals holistically. She says in this chapter, it heals ethically, morally, and physically, something of which is quite unusual, to have a science of God today healing sin and sickness. We see in the world today that, yes, God can heal sin, but what about sickness? And they say, no, God can't heal sickness. So therefore, we have these various malpractice cases coming up against the Church of Christian Science and other religions because they dare to practice healing in the realm of sickness. Because theology has gotten so far away from the healing of sin and sickness that it is almost now unknown to even think that it can do so. So theology has just more or less isolated itself to the healing of sin and left sickness to the healing of medicine. But Mrs. Eddy will show that there's a divine principle love behind medicine which heals sin and sickness, and knows no categories of whether it's curable or incurable, possible, not possible, organic, functional. It heals everything. So in going through this chapter, seeing that the science is based on a principle love, theology is the consciousness of a living principle love, and medicine is also the outcome of a consciousness of the living principle love, which heals us morally as well as physically, that therefore we will feel this whole sense of divine principle love embracing this whole chapter. And we know how it began so nicely, where Mrs. Eddy said, when she was near Death's Valley, "I learned these truths in divine science." So we know that divine science really is that standpoint of divine principle love. So I feel maybe, we never really know, but perhaps when it came to the love tone, she said, "I've said it." So it's an adventure. It is a tremendous adventure. I just want to build up towards the week just as a little chat with us this evening so that we begin to appreciate, though we, I'm not saying we don't, but just that we do continue to appreciate through science and understanding the value of this truth volume, the value of science and health. It is just an incredible phenomenon, really. When we take a look at it, people say it's a book amongst other books. It's a book in relationship to the Quran, is another revealed text. Or it isn't any difference. Or Mrs. Eddy is just trying to monopolize a spiritual history. That what's wrong with the Book of Mormon or some of these other books that have been written through Revelation? Why do we have the courage of conviction to present, as I have here on this diagram, on the one book which I've given out to you, and it's in the bookshop, is Free Literature, to show that science and health is right next to the Bible. We can say, well, who's going to buy that? They will just say, well, of course, they're Christian scientists, and they're trying to put science and health equal to the Bible. I wonder how that's going to go over, or how does it go over? Well, probably not too well. As Mrs. Eddy says, she was accused of being monopolized, but she answered that for us in prose work, showing that her system is unique. And I think as I began to ponder these things and the value of the textbook, I think, as we all do, we begin to stand in awe of maybe it is unique, and maybe it does represent a category in being that no other book on earth does. And that maybe science and health is the textbook of the 6,000-year period. And maybe it is the book which fulfills the prophecy of the Bible. We know where it talks about how the angel came down and had a little book that was open. Well, we feel that that book is science and health. Mrs. Eddy felt it was. She called it Truth's Volume. So we have these two witnesses, Christ Jesus, who presented to us the pith of his life experience through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And now we have Christ's science in Science and Health, the other witness, that of Christian Science, the saving science, which takes that Christ away from the individual saver and puts it into a science in understanding, by which all of us can be that divine infinite calculus of which the Gospels speak. So I want us to see and ponder that perhaps this volume is rightfully placed as right next to that Bible, and that maybe it does, as the Bible certainly does, fulfill a category in being. We know that the Bible fulfills the Word of God insofar as it covers those first 5,000-year periods in biblical history. We know so well how the Bible then is, as Mrs. Eddy shows, is presenting to us the handling of error as presented to us in the first record of creation. Right there in the first record of creation in Genesis, under the big mind tone of the first 1,000-year period, as we know in biblical history, I just will assume this is an advanced class and we know these things. If not, we have our introductory tapes. But We know now that this the Bible begins with what we call the first 1,000-year period, which is from 4,000 to 3,000 B.C., really fulfilling the beginning of the prophecy as in 2 Peter, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So they felt that it would take spiritual consciousness, 7,000 years to fulfill an understanding of the days of creation as they offset the claim of the second record of creation, which is spiritualism, which is the belief, only the belief, that principle God can be turned into its opposite. That's what the second record of creation is, spiritualism. We will discuss it more tomorrow as we make that step from the fourth to the fifth to the sixth chapter, from Christian Science versus Spiritualism to Animal Magnetism Unmasked, to Science, Theology, and Medicine, which I would like to do in the morning as an exercise, just along the laws of oneness to prepare our consciousness again for the sixth chapter. But right away, at the beginning of the Bible, then we get that problem of what God is as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love through the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh day. And then, as I said, what God is not, as posed by the second record of creation, which is, again repeating, the belief of spiritualism, the belief that something can be turned into its opposite. It's only a belief. And therefore, we see that that belief through the second record of creation does not fulfill itself. That subsequent Bible revelation begins to show us that there is what we would call, and some of the students are liking to call, divine entropy, meaning that there is a sense that God is evolving in its becoming, that God is, let's say, first of all, that the eighth day of the I Am, we know that God is. Those are the laws of isness, the being. But that being is saying, I am throughout creation. And as being, God says, I am throughout its creation. It looks like the becoming. So through the Bible is showing us that God is. And as God says in the first 1,000-year period, which is just showing us the first day of mind, I am mind, that simultaneously offsets the belief that that mind can be turned into an opposite, hence I am not mortal mind, which the second record of creation poses. That is lifting off the restraint of the belief of mortal mind. So we're beginning to get an evolution where we have only spirit God evolving and material history becoming less and less a hold on consciousness, lifting off the restraints of matter, matter going towards what looks like entropy, looks like a heat death, which looks like a state of stagnation, finally entering into the land of Nod, nothingness. So we have a evolution of evolving, and at the same time, I guess we could say de-evolving, where in entropy, the belief of the matter or duality, as posed by the second record of creation, becomes less and less. So the Bible then, in the first 1,000-year period, with Genesis, with the first and second record of creation, start the story, showing that God is saying, I am, starting its becoming, I am, mind, I am not mortal mind. The second 1,000-year period of the second day from 3,000 to 2,000 B.C., the Genesis story going on, fulfilling the story of spirit, where we have Noah showing, therefore, God saying, I am spirit, I am not matter, I am not of a material calculus, I am not of a two-valued logic, therefore lifting off the restraints of a dual-valued logic. God becoming, lifting off the restraints, matter going closer and closer towards its heat death as the spirit evolves. And then coming into the third 1,000-year period of biblical history, which is shown to us through, therefore, the Genesis story going on with the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph story, and then entering into Exodus story at the third 1,000-year period, and then into Joshua and Judges, all giving us that story of soul, where God says, I am soul. Therefore, I am not mind in a matter body, lifting off another restraint from consciousness, another hold of that belief that something can be turned into its opposite. As the Bible evolves the story into principle, which takes on the tone of the Christ, to show God saying, therefore, at the point of the 4,000-year period, which is the tone of the fourth day of principle, I am principle, therefore I am not personality, I am not in a personal organization, therefore God becoming more, not more and more, but the spirit evolving more and more and lifting off the restraints more and more of the matter concept, so it drops off the sense of personality as the spiritual evolves through the biblical story to life into the New Testament. Excuse me, after the principle one, I just want to mention the books in principle, where God says, I am principle, I'm not personality, shown through us, of course, through the kingdom period of, first of all, the first and second Samuel, Hannah giving the child back to the Lord, giving it back to principle. Certainly the David story, where the Lord speaks to my Lord, as David said. Then the minor prophets showing us that impact of the Christ principle on our life. If we give our consciousness back to the Lord, then that has an effect. It comes to us and overturns everything in us that isn't like that principle. Gets rid of a sense of personality, and therefore we evolve. The Bible evolves its story into the New Testament, therefore, of life, of the 5,000-year period. Here we enter, therefore, God saying, I am life. I am not the cycle of birth, maturity, and death. And this we get through the wonderful teachings, as we know, of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the epistles of Paul, and then Revelation. And then the Bible seems to close there at Revelation. After it says, I am life, I am not death, I am not of the cycle of death, Jesus proving there is no death through his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, the Bible closes with Jesus' prophecy of a little book that will be open, that will teach you all things. He said it would teach you the spirit of truth. Well, what happens to the story? Does it end? Or can we say that through spiritual consciousness and spiritual tonality, that maybe the textbook continues with God saying, I am truth. I am divine consciousness in the 6,000-year period. I am that Christ science. Science is truth. Science is always that which makes models, that takes the infinite and reduces it to a system, into models of consciousness. And therefore, God saying through truth's volume, through science and consciousness, science and health, I am truth. I am divine consciousness. I am that one healthy whole consciousness. I am not mortal consciousness. It rings true. And then perhaps, as we'll see, the textbook, well, they never close, but it seems that in the 7,000-year period, another text is given to us where God says, I am love. I am that divine principle love. I am not fear, hate, jealousy, and that we see perhaps could be the model of being presenting to us that language of spirit as it embraces the Bible and science and health. So we have had, therefore, being saying, I am that I am throughout all the universe looking like the becoming, having only a spiritual universe evolving and a universe devolving. That would be that false belief in another universe called matter, called spiritualism. So with this tremendous subject, then, we want to see that we can't jump from the fifth, let's say, to the 7,000-year period. Though we saw with the model of being quite clearly how Jesus himself showed that he was this tremendous divine infinite calculus in operation. Mrs. Eddy says of Jesus of Nazareth, he was a natural and divine scientist. He really was that prototype who actually showed us what the man of the future would be. He said, greater things than these ye shall do, I go unto my Father. He was projecting the true manhood of the 6,000-year period that would come, that man in that state of divine consciousness, which would then come in the 7,000-year period, therefore showing that he was embodied all which had gone before, as far as before Abraham was, I am. I come to not to destroy the law and the prophets. I come to fulfill them. But I am also the man of the future. I am not just the man of the first, second, third, 4,000-year period and the fifth, but I represent the man, the true man of the sixth and 7,000-year period. But he said something interesting. Here is my cup, drink ye all of it. Meaning, you can't get there by vicarious salvation. And this is something where the role of the textbook comes in very and very important. Though Jesus we saw fulfilled through Matthew the law of interdependence of the word in his life, very, very clearly we could see that. And being a transparency according to Mark to the law of interdependence of the Christ in his life, letting the Christ happen in his life, and being that with great humility, it's not my will but thine be done, allowing then in Luke to show us that he was the transparency for the law of interdependence of Christianity in his life. And then as we see and anticipate that in the Gospel of John, he shows then that he is that living divine principle love. He is the law of interdependence of the science in his life. This is Jesus' life, and it's wonderful to know about it, but what good does it do for us? It's nice to read what Matthew says. It's nice to read what Mark says, Luke, John. We can concept build the best we can with it, tonality build the best we can with it, consciousness build the best we can, being build the best we can, but it still won't get us into the 7,000-year period where we ourselves can accept that we are that divine infinite calculus, that we too are that living principle love. We are. This is the model of our being. It's as it was a model of Jesus's life. It also is the model of our life. But how do we get there? This, then, we see that is the role of the textbook. The textbook shows us the way where through science and understanding, we also can arrive in consciousness of that 7,000-year period. See, that 7,000-year period we know has the tonality of love is truth and love is love. We know through our work with the 7 days of creation that love is truth means through the mind of Christ, we acknowledge perfection. That perfection is made known through the mind of Christ. Love, perfection is made known through the mind of Christ. And that's the 7,000-year period. And also we have that love is love tone, to accept perfection in its completeness. Meaning, perfection is made known through the mind of Christ and we accept that perfection. Well, the model of being shows us that state of perfection, that state of the seventh day, the state of peace, the state of rest. But how do we consciously, through understanding, accept perfection? Where Mrs. Eddy says at this point so nicely about the love as love tone, building up to it, where she says, the numerals of infinity called 7 days can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. These days will appear as mortality disappears, and they will reveal eternity and the newness of life, in which all sense of error forever disappears, and thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. That's a standpoint of the 7,000-year period where consciousness accepts the divine infinite calculus. It's a consciousness of the mind of Christ, that divine consciousness, where Mrs. Eddy says that it's a consciousness which is filled with the allness of God in its ideas, a consciousness which she says, against such a consciousness there is no law, against such a consciousness which knows no error. Against such a consciousness that knows no sin, then, disease, death. That's the 7,000-year period, that consciousness. And therefore we say, how do we arrive within ourselves of a consciousness that knows no error, that isn't tempted by error? Because a consciousness of divine science is a consciousness which goes out, as we know, from the all in all, isn't it? It's a consciousness which goes out from the allness of God in its idea. And it's also a consciousness where love never loses sight of loveliness. It's a consciousness which never loses sight of itself. It's a consciousness where we go out from mind, and mind never loses sight of mind. Mind never can be turned into its opposite. It's a consciousness that goes out from spirit, and spirit never loses sight of spirit. It's a consciousness that go out from soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And that consciousness never loses sight of itself. That's why we have only capitalized terms. It's a consciousness that cannot be divided into its opposite. It's a consciousness that doesn't even know ideas. It just knows itself. Now, that's what Jesus had. Mrs. Eddy said he was a natural divine scientist with such a consciousness. He was able then to fulfill his life's mission, which was to be the wayshore, to show us through his life that there is the possibility that through our also acknowledging the Christ in our life through science and understanding, we can be that calculus.